The Secret by Maureen Marsh.
So where do I start? Well, let me begin with when. It was just after that summer of 1976, a summer that never ended. Days and days of t-shirts, red faces, paddling pools, sunburnt children, camping holidays, barbecues in the garden, and an endless orgy of dripping, melting ice creams. Finally, the idyll is broken by September's rains calling out to us, "Summer is over and we're back." I don't recall what the fight is about, but I do recall that my sister slapped me hard round the ear, causing a momentary dizziness before I run off crying, big salty tears running down my plump, red, rosy 8-year-old cheeks. It was Sunday afternoon that the altercation occurred, and I find myself running up the East Sussex countryside high on the Southern Downs. I lean over the cliff edge and get that vicarious thrill of gazing at the rocks and crashing waves below, almost willing myself to jump, a dramatic affect overtaking me. Then, scaring myself a little too thoroughly, I pull back and begin to walk through the long, yellow, parched grass. I'm fascinated with the new shoots of green life springing out where 3 weeks earlier it would have seemed impossible. I lay down instinctively, the sting of my sister's slap and the emotion subsiding, and a feeling of peace beginning to take its place. I stretch out, opening my arms and legs wide, white shorts impregnated with mud, yellow flip-flops and a Mickey Mouse t-shirt. My sun hat having been discarded, my cheeks are now a brighter shade of red and my hair is a tangled web of dark curls. I'm staring into a luminous sky, now beginning to be taken over by ominous clouds, but still the sun peeps through saying, "I'm not done yet, feel my heat." The earthy smell of mud and young greenery made your head ache. I long to disappear inside it, inside life itself, feeling a blissful joy impossible to articulate. Life overwhelmingly beautiful, where only 30 minutes earlier it had been overwhelmingly tragic. A couple of feet away, two crows battle it out over a rat lying dead, its entrails pouring out in a noxious soup, maggots wreathing in and out. I'm alone with nature's battles and beauty. I hear the crickets making their noisy presence felt and crows screeching overhead. For a moment, it feels like a warning, warning me to move on. This warning, I do not heed. This is when I hear voices from a distance coming closer. I peep up out of the long grass and see Richie and Alex coming towards me. This is an incongruous pairing. Richie being well known for his domineering and bullying ways, 13, tall as a man with a ferret-like face and dark, intense eyes. He's walking a little distance behind Alex, plump, short, red-haired. "That's right, run away from me, fat boy!" Richie shouts in delight. "Leave me alone!" the whiny response of Alex. They pass very close to me, but I'm buried deep in the long grass and watch from this vantage point the drama unfolding before me. Alex's eyes are puffy and red from crying, his plump arms bursting out of a white t-shirt, his shorts splattered in mud. Richie draws up close behind him and gives him a shove. He stumbles over, nearly falling at my feet. I keep very still and observe as Richie lands a disgusting big dollop of salivary spit on Alex. He then seems to lose interest and turns around. At this point, Alex gets up and runs bravely in the direction of Richie. "I'm going to tell my mum," Alex shouts at him. "Your mum's a big, fat, ugly tart and you take after her," Richie shouts back. At this point, An otherworldly rage seems to take hold of Alex, and he kicks Richie hard in the shins. This was when all hell let loose, and Richie began to swing some solid punches on the smaller, fatter boy. A bag of crisps and several coins fall out of Alex's pockets as he begins to stumble backwards, panicking. His nose already has a stream of crimson blood trickling from the left nostril. The fight is getting closer and closer to the edge of the cliff. Then suddenly and horribly, Alex stumbles. Losing his footing, his shocked expression, bright red hair and bloodied nose are the last visual moments of him that I see as he falls backwards, crashing into the rocky edges of the cliff and falling in moments into the swirling hell below. Richie just stands there still, like a statue. Then, looking furtively around, he runs down the parched pathway, never stopping or looking back. If he had, he would have seen me slowly walk to the edge of the cliff and gaze down at the broken body of Alex below. I keep this secret like a vile demon in the corner of my mind, locked away, but ever screaming to come out. Even at the funeral, I keep quiet. My school friends crying all around me, but I'm silent. Looking over, I spot Richie in an ill-fitting suit, thin, pale face, nails bitten to the quick, a bruise on his right cheek. I say nothing. That was not only the end of that summer, it was the end of my childhood also. Something died in me, just as Alex had died. Years later, I did think about going to the police to finally confess, but I find out that Richie died in a car accident 5 years later, so I changed my mind. And I've carried the burden of my cowardice and my fear till now. So, Father, I say this confession to you. In the carrying of this secret, my life has been ugly and difficult. Because of this awful secret, I know now that dreadful cruelty exists and that there are those who allow that cruelty to go on and keep quiet. I know that because I am those. And I feel Father Michael's hands on my head, and the secret is released from hell, and the warm glow of redemption is finally felt.